been a real blessing to be here this morning. Glad to be with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, Father. Thank you for the encouragement, Lord, we've found in the hymns this morning. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for the promises you've given and the hope, Father. Lord, we just thank you again. Lord, we just ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Live our lives, Father, for you. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon these that are seeking, Lord, to enter your kingdom, Father. Lord, through baptism, we just ask that your blessing be upon their lives. And again, we just thank you, Lord. Help us be faithful to you and bring glory to you in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter. I think we'll begin in chapter 1. Just begin in verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." I just want to, we'll read some of this. I'll just comment a little on the way. But as it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You know, a lot of people say that we can't please God. We can't live the way we're supposed to, but it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You know, a lot of times we think of holiness as just being this perfect person that just fulfills the law to the full extent, and just you know, there's a lot of conceptions about holiness. And what happens is we begin to interject our own ideas of what it is. We'll see this later. But holiness is, like we sing about, is, oh, to be like him. You know, a lot of times we get run into people that their idea of holiness is this some sort of perfection that they expect. And, you know, and as they go through life, they have this expectation, and over and over again, they join a group of people, or they become part of a people, or just individuals, and nobody ever measures up to what they think is that holiness. And so they just go from one place to another looking for that holiness. And the problem is they never find it. And then pretty soon, when it's too late, they begin to realize that they don't measure up either. But they've usually got to the place where, you know, there's nothing there to build on. And that form of holiness is the desire to be like Jesus. It's not a set of rules. You know, people try to put God into a little box, but it's not that. It's oh, to be like him, like we're saying. So that to be holy is to be like Jesus. And, you know, people kind of have this set of rules, like I said, but it goes much deeper than that, as we'll find. "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth." If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. You know, it's not, you address this one as the omnipotent God that's going to judge, but if you address him as Father, see, there's a, that puts it in a little different perspective. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, you know, here it is, we are going to be judged by each one's work. We see the words of Jesus here where he says that you'll be judged according to how you judge. You'll receive mercy according to how you receive mercy. That's the work that we're going to be judged by. So many people are expecting everyone to uphold this manner of law or this rule of law that they've set in their own minds, and they've forgotten that what we're going to be judged by is not this standard we've set up. That's not what everybody's going to be judged by. But that is the one they will be judged by, because we will be judged according to our works. When we set that high bar that we expect everyone to obtain to, we are setting that high bar that no one can obtain to for ourselves. That's the judgment we'll be judged by according to our works. We're setting that standard by ourselves. Knowing that you're conducting yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. In other words, you know, not a fear of, oh, I don't hope I don't fail, I hope I don't fall short, I hope, but that fear of how we're setting, what kind of standard we're setting for each other. Because this is the way we're going to be judged. The time we spend on earth is either going to be like Jesus or some holy righteousness that we've set for ourselves. And that's what we should fear, to remember that it's to be like Him, to be holy like Him. Knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We're redeemed not by anything that we can do, not by what we can buy, or not by what we can conjure in our own minds, but we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. And that word redeemed, you know, we're redeemed by His blood. Redeemed is we were lost. We were in a place where there was no hope for us. Satan had us bound in his power. And it wasn't that God was so mad at us that He couldn't forgive us until the blood was shed. Satan held us in his grasp. Mankind had yielded himself to Satan, and Jesus came and lived the life of a man. Not some super spiritual power that we think of as being holy, but Jesus came and lived His life as a man. That's that blood, the spotless blood, and He offered that blood, and He set us free from Satan's clutches. And that's what I want you people, you young people that are being baptized, you know, you're choosing a new life. You're choosing to be like Jesus. You're laying down your own lives. You're laying down that life that you've lived for yourself, and you're choosing to be holy like He is holy. For He was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. That's what Jesus, whenever He came, you know, we've talked about it before. All through history, God gave the promise that Jesus would come, and here He came. And He fulfilled what God expected, not what man expected, but He fulfilled what God expected and set us free for your sake. You know, there's a lot of emotion that He died just for you, you know, but He died for your sake. He died so that you could be set free. And we have responsibilities for that. For through him we are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. There again, our faith and hope is in God, not our own concoction of what it's supposed to be, but our faith and hope is in him. Then it says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls. Here's where it gets a little sticky with the people who think that just believing that Jesus died for us, it's all good. He said, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls. You know, that's where the washing of the water by the word. God has given us his word, and he's shown us ways to purify our own souls by showing us where the spots are, by showing us where the places are that we don't measure up, the places that we're not like Jesus. And he shows us through his word. And that's how you purify yourself, through his word. Whenever, you know, we get mad at somebody or somebody does us wrong, and then we remember that Jesus said, if you forgive, you'll be forgiven. And we let that go. That's purifying ourselves instead of holding on to it, that spot. You know, whenever he says that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, you know, that regulates our lives and it purifies us. It cleanses us. You know, yes, it was the blood that opened that door for us to be cleansed and washed. But it is by the blood and the word of God that he shows us how to continue in that, how to live in that, so that we can purify our souls, so that we can be like him. That's the end goal. You know, whenever we see him face to face, we'll see him as he is. One of the boys talked about this morning. That's the goal. That whenever we stand before him, he'll look in our face and we in his, and we recognize what we've been striving for and what we wanted to be. And we belong because we see that. It's not because we've managed to maintain a life without any sin at all, but it's because we've become like him. And he's our Father, and we're his children, and we belong with him. You know, it's sad. So many people think that, well, I got saved once, I'm good. But there's no desire to be like Jesus. No, he just did it all, and if I even try, I'll be frustrating him. Oh, how frustrating to him that thought is. He set us free so that we could be like him. And then we stand before him, and so many people on that day, it says, Lord, will say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. Because we never sought the word of God. And that when I say that, that's not just this words, these books, but the word. Jesus was the word. It's all about him and who he is. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. This is what whenever we are baptized and we come to the Lord and we're born again and we're baptized, and we're becoming a part of the church. We're becoming a part of the kingdom of God. And that's where becoming a part's not just having your name on the roll, or not just being a part of this group or that group, or just attending on Sunday. Being a part is becoming a lover of the brethren. And these are the family of God, and we're becoming a part of that. You know, there again, it's these thoughts of people are trying to have a pure church, and so they go around trying to find every little thing wrong and root it all out. they're focused on themselves and their own standards instead of loving their brethren. You know, usually whenever a brother is struggling or weak, he needs someone to help him instead of turning him out. Instead of piling on. You know, there's times that when somebody struggles, then whenever you start trying to share and open up, it's like the brother gets his notepad out and starts writing this down. Boy, I'll use this later. You know, I'm going to save this. Boy, this is good. That's not loving the brethren. That's as worldly and selfish as you can get. That's not like Jesus. Not someone you can come to whenever you have a need, that somebody will be standing beside you no matter what you go through, instead of just waiting for a knife, you know, to waiting for him to say something so we can sharpen our knife against him. That's not being holy. It's not being like Jesus. It's being like Satan, trying to bring us back into bondage to something. That's not the goal. Being to love the brethren is, you know, being aware of others' needs, being aware of the brothers' needs, the sisters' needs, the family's needs. You know, that's where, you know, some say, well, the church has got to have all the money so we can live in communion or commonly. That's not what he wants. He wants us to be able to live commonly with your own money. And if a brother has need, be right there. Without the church just telling you how to do it and becoming all legalistic. And, you know, we've talked to people before about, you know, this common purse. Well, the sad truth is whoever controls the purse string is God. And everybody else is subservient to that. That's not what God intended whenever he talked about having all things common. It means that my brother has a need. I want to be there to help him. Because we love the brethren. Not because it's just one of the rules that we're trying to check off of our list. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. There again, Jesus, one of his things is the world will know you because of your love one for another. You know, some people think love is just make sure we go ahead and buttonhole everybody that disagrees with us. That's not love. That's just trying to check off all of your check marks of your own brand of holiness. And it says, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. Here we have it again. The Word of God is where we get our life. Not just because we believe a promise here or there. You know, the boys talked about the promises. It's not just because we believe a promise and just are going to hang on to it. It's because we believe it. And we let it transform our lives. Being born again by the washing and regeneration of the Word. Then it says, for all flesh is grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the Word of God endures forever. All flesh is grass. My opinion, my ideas, my whatever I think about God's Word or whatever I make God's Word to say means nothing. God's Word will last. God's truth will last. The holiness that He has will last. Just like Jesus, it will all be according to how He sees it. And we need to get in line with Him. You know, I wrote in the front of my Bible years ago, you know, I can either change this book to what I want it to be, or I can let it change me. You know, I can change it to fit my doctrine, or I can let it change me. And that's where I get in line with God instead of me bringing Him in line with me. That's the all flesh is grass. Because all of the me getting God in line with me is going to, might grow green for a little while, but it'll all fade away when the sun comes out and burn up to nothing. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. You know, it wasn't obey this, obey that, make sure everybody else... See, whenever we're looking out at everybody else, we're not being what we're supposed to be. He wants us to be this. And that's where the mercy and the love and the patience and the forgiveness comes in. You know, that's being like Jesus. Therefore, as newborn babes, it's the title says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow in respect. So by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Salvation is a gift. And it is something that we maintain and grow. As newborn babes, putting aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, we seek to be like Jesus. And that's it. Laying aside all those other things, this religious stuff, malice, deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and slander. Those are things that are produced with religion. Those are the things that, and they look real holy to some people. But it's stuff that needs put away. You know, we all have our learning time. You know, the people get a little zealous whenever they first try to learn this and think everybody ought to just be doing it. But we need to just be doing it ourselves and put all that stuff away. That we may grow in respect to salvation. And it says, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. I think this is one of the big problems. If we've tasted the kindness of the Lord, we'll know what it tastes like. And we'll have something to give that's real. You know, I think the reason, I've said it before many times, that the reason people can't forgive is because they've never tasted forgiveness. They've never tasted forgiveness. The reason they've got a checklist out is because they don't know what forgiveness is themselves. They're religious. They talk about Jesus. But they don't know what forgiveness is. They've never been in the clutches of Satan and been set free from that and forgiven for what they've done. You know, a lot of you young people, you've never been in the great depths, but you were still just as much in Satan's bondage. And being set free from that is still just as real. And tasting that forgiveness, you can give it to someone else. The reason people don't know how to love is because they've never tasted love. They've never experienced it from the Lord themselves. So they have nothing to offer but a fake type of love. And if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, you'll know how to be kind. If you've tasted the mercy of the Lord, you'll know how to be merciful. And see, put away all that other stuff and like newborn babes, just reflect what you've tasted. And that's how you're the light of the world. Dwell on that. All of us. That's what we're shooting for. That's the end of our salvation, is to be like Him. Sure, we obey. Sure, we want to do all the right things. But if you don't have the love, the mercy, kindness, the forgiveness, it's probably because we haven't tasted it. We've just tried to add religion to our lives. And that won't work. May the Lord add His blessing. Anyone have anything they'd like to share? Well, Lord willing, we're head to McDowell. We'll have a baptism as soon as we get there, so don't tarry around too long. Let's just head on over there. God bless you all. Depart in peace. I'll see you in a little bit.